So, Paul Rosen, it looks like Nabisco is upset with the government of Chile, as is Pepsi and Coke and a whole bunch of other manufacturers of junk food. That's because in Chile, they put these big black warning labels on foods that have obscene levels of sugar or fat in them. That's how they handle their food labels in Chile. They let you know right away that something's unhealthy. Food labels are one of our topics this morning on Health Matters. And specifically, we'll discuss whether or not you can trust food labels. Is that right? I'm going to take that serious stare as a yes.
Yes, that's right. Food labels. Have you actually ever stopped to read one? Unfortunately, it's not what's there, but what isn't. A closer look will help you sort out what's useful and what's not, plus 10 things to throw away for better health, if we can get to it.
We'll see if we can get to that. There's a lot to cover with food labels. Meanwhile, we want you to call 503-222-9700, 503-222-9700. If you call and go on the show with your health issue, and that can be anything that's bothering you, you can get a copy of Paul's book, The Missing Piece. How about that?
You can.
You can do that.
And you should. And why not? You know, I've been doing these shows for so long, and I still love it because, you know, people come to see me not as their first choice or their second choice or maybe even their fifth choice, but because they've failed so many times using supplements or herbs or seeing other practitioners, and they can't figure out, they don't want to use medications. And they're not making progress. They're not getting well. And it's really why I started to do these shows in the first place, was because, hey, over here, we can help. Yes, there's an effective way to do it. Over here. Of course, it does require you to do something. You know, where this is not the red pill or the blue pill.
That's a reference to The Matrix.
Thank
for those
you very much.
Listening this
yeah.
morning.
You do have to do something. You do have to change your lifestyle. You do have to stop eating sugar. I will tell you, I've been 98% successful with people who are willing to stop eating sugar, and I've been 100% unsuccessful with people who don't.
So in terms of food labels, should we be looking for the content or the level of sugar in any food that we buy? Is that the first thing we should peruse the label for?
Let's back up.
Okay, we have to back way up.
Way up.
Way up.
Food labels. So the bottom line is food labels were really the result of the government being forced into some kind of warning to consumers because the food industry, was basically putting together edible products that contained mis and disinformation. And or ingredients that were harmful to
okay,
people.
Okay, so they
so
they
first
weren't...
it was about mis and disinformation, fraudulent information, calling grape jelly whether or not there was any grapes in it, for example, or peanut butter, whether or not there were any peanuts, or how many peanuts were in it.
So that's pretty general, you know, in terms of labeling. If you buy this, it's peanut butter. It has plenty of peanuts in it, and it turns out not to be the case.
It turns out that, one example was Ocean Spray way back when was essentially, you know, cranberries, fresh cranberry juice, and it was sweetened with sugar, yes. But in order to make more money, they needed to reduce, or felt like they had to reduce, the expense by eliminating or reducing some of the ingredients. So instead of cane sugar, then they came up with, their chemists came up with high fructose corn syrup.
Now, I thought you were going to say the first ingredient they eliminated was cranberries, but apparently not.
Well, they reduced that too, but it was, because you're talking about, when you're talking about big numbers, right, you only have to reduce things a few cents, and it's amazing how many hundreds of thousands of dollars that can generate.
Okay, to go back to that example, though, if an advertiser says this is 100% fruit juice, that's usually not correct. It's some kind of fruit, let's say cranberries again, made in a synthetic form, and it's been sugared up to make it more, to make it taste better.
That can be true. Yes, that can be true.
So to go back to your...
So anyway, the point is that labels came about in order to, you know, in order to provide the consumer with trustworthy information. And unfortunately, the intentions were never realized. And nowadays, because of the connection between the FDA and industry, corporate industry, it has just gotten worse. It's just gotten worse.
So
my point is you simply cannot trust what you're actually reading on the label. And I'm going to give you some good examples of that. As we move forward.
So I'm guessing that food manufacturers, are required by law to include certain information on their food labels. However, from what you're saying, Paul, that information is not reliable.
It's not reliable, and for the most part, the laws are very lax. Right, food labels themselves, even though they have to be on there, the information is almost voluntary. Right, and even the information on the label itself, the food label itself. For example, the two most important sections of a food label, right, according to the powers that be, are the nutritional facts, right, and the ingredients. And notice that when you look at the size of the space on the label and the size of the print, what gets the predominant feature?
I'm going to guess the nutritional
facts. Nutritional facts. And yet,
facts.
They're totally worthless. You can't, that information is absolutely useless on every level. On every level. There isn't anything there that is useful for a person to be able to determine whether or not to buy that food.
So let's draw the distinction here. You said nutritional facts as opposed to ingredient information. What are the nutritional facts, and why do they tend to get the more prominent billing?
They're supposedly supposed to be how many carbohydrates, proteins, and sugars are in a serving of that food.
So would these
then
be things...
Then you have to read what they consider to be a serving.
Okay, so I didn't know that. I didn't know a serving was not a set amount. Did they create their own definition of serving?
Yes, and their own size.
So there's no standard.
I mean, if you look at a size for peanuts, for example, you'll see it's absurd. 2 tablespoons or 3 tablespoons of peanuts is a serving, and you look at the number, nobody eats just 2 tablespoons or 3 tablespoons of nuts when they sit down and snack on some nuts.
So right there at the beginning, we have these definitions which are not set. There's no standard definition for a serving. So a manufacturer on his label for his food can say a serving is anything he wants it to be. Is that right?
Exactly.
So that's one way,
exactly,
right out of the gate that food labels are misleading.
There are other examples like fats in food. So the definition of a fat is triglycerides in a food, according to the government, which is why you can make a product with mono and diglycerides and say it's fat-free.
Monoglycerides as opposed to triglycerides?
Correct.
Is that what we're talking
Correct.
About?
Yes.
But what consumer, besides yourself maybe and some other specialists, even knows what those terms mean?
You won't. Most consumers have no idea, which is why you have to, which is why I'm doing this show. Right? Because the labels themselves not only will mislead, not only sometimes contain false information, right? But it's because of definitions, the parsing of terminology, and what the government allows the corporations, the companies to do.
I get that. And related to that, I think food manufacturers and advertisers in particular put terms out there as a positive, hoping that consumers will assume that it is a positive without really knowing the definition. For example, I remember commercials back in the day that would make a big deal out of the fact that some foods contained polyunsaturates. Well, what's a polyunsaturate? I have no idea. You know, from
unsaturated fat.
Okay, good. But from the poly, I can tell there's a lot of
many.
It, right? Okay.
It's
so polyunsaturates. But I remember in these commercials, they would always say polyunsaturates without defining that term. So I think they're trying to condition us to accept some things as desirable without telling us why they're desirable.
Yes, I mean, that's true. But it goes back. It starts even further back than that. Why do you care whether it's unsaturated or saturated?
Well, that's it, because they tell us we should.
No, because it's based on what we've talked about really over the last two shows, and that is the idea that saturated fat is bad for you, unsaturated fat is good for you.
So if you have polyunsaturates...
Why? Because back in 1961, some old codger who wanted to be famous and, you know, have some power and make a lot of money postulated that... consuming saturated fats caused heart disease.
Some old codger.
And the medical establishment, the pharmaceutical, conglomerate, right, have spent almost 60 years trying to prove that point, and have failed every single time.
So what
why? Because that postulate isn't true. And any unbiased, disconnected study done around the world, not related to any medical or pharmaceutical organization, right, realizes that the consumption of good, high-quality, unadulterated saturated fats do not cause heart disease. But if you push that postulate, as the industry has done, or industries have done, right? If you say something often enough, the unsuspecting person believes it. I mean, this is just the way it is. And so labels then have taken on the very unfortunate for us, right? Unfortunate for us. Sort of pushing information that's simply not true. So you look at a label that says fat-free. Well, technically, right, if you limit the triglycerides to a certain level, triglycerides are the representation of fat, and add in mono and diglycerides, you can literally label that product is fat-free. And isn't that better for you? Without, by the way, indicating that, yes, we reduce the fat in the product, but we increase the sugar in the product, like, woo!
So two things are wrong there with that label. Maybe not wrong, but misleading. As you said, they're labeling themselves as fat-free, when in fact fat-free isn't necessarily what it is or what's good for you. And they're also increasing the sugar, so it'll taste better. And that, in fact, is not necessarily good for you either.
So then you would say, well, okay, fine. I will completely disregard nutritional facts. The other thing about nutritional facts, I should say, which is very obvious, is they're based on, minimum RDAs.
Required daily allowance.
Thank you. Of a particular vitamin. Minimum means the amount of vitamin that you would require before death, or bad things happening, right? That's minimum. That's what the whole label is based on? Now, let me ask you, right? Do you think the minimum RDA requirement would be the same for a 300-pound football player as a 90-pound grandma?
I'm going to guess no.
But the label don't, the labels don't, the numbers don't differentiate that.
Right. And I
so,
also...
So the point is, anyway, my point again is, it's useless information. You cannot base any decision on the nutritional facts on the label. It's just, and because it occupies a huge portion of the label, it's more predominant right in front of your eyes.
503-222-9700 is the number to call to speak to Paul Rosen this morning on Health Matters, on your health issue, whatever it is. 503-222-9700. But the fact, Paul, that those nutrition facts labels are so prominent on the food tells me that advertisers are conditioning us to think that that's important.
So no, they're advertising that to us to buy their product.
Well, I understand that, but I think
using
that you,
using mis and disinformation to convince us that
right,
their product's a good product.
We're saying the same thing. Really,
I'm looking at a nutritional fact label here: total fat, cholesterol, sodium, total carbohydrates, dietary fiber, sugars, and protein. Right. Those are the categories.
Those things sound
healthy.
As if
it made a difference.
Well, but they sound healthy to me. Everything
exactly.
You just said.
Exactly. And now I've described to you why they are completely misleading, completely misreading. Right. Because you can take the language and corporations do take the language. Oftentimes, if you look at, you know, for a serving, you'll see serving size 28 grams. Right. And let's look at this one and see. 17 and 2 is 19, 25, 28, 29 and 7 is 36.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Wizard. But what does that mean towards our topic here?
Once again, it means the information is ridiculous. It tells you a serving size is 28 grams. And then when you combine, when you add all of the grams of the categories in the label, it doesn't add up to 28 grams. It adds up to 36 grams. How's that possible?
No, I don't know. That's one thing.
No. Of course you know. How can you get a 28-gram serving, right, that gives you 36 grams of those components?
Because it's what that advertiser tells you it is.
No, it's, well, yeah. And I could put on, you know, I've got the money tree in my backyard. I'll give you as much as you like.
Okay, but your point is?
My point is it's a useless piece of information.
Well, I agree with that, not only because of the math you've just done, but 28 grams doesn't really mean anything to me as a consumer. 28 grams as a serving, well, okay, but I just don't know how practically that has any use for me.
Yeah, exactly. ¼ cup in this one.
A quarter cup of what?
A quarter cup. I'm trying to see. I think it's sunflower seeds.
that's the product.
¼ cup is a serving.
Okay. Because they tell us.
You know how small a quarter cup is?
It's a small amount of anything.
It's maybe a handful and a half of nuts, right? Well, what good does that do you?
It doesn't mean anything, and I think that's your overall point, that they're just creating their own definitions for everything and telling you this is good for you, and therefore you should buy our product.
Yeah.
And if it's just not good for you, at least it's not harmful.
Well, no, it's not that. I mean, we're not talking about, we haven't even gotten to whether or not the food is good for you.
Okay.
We're just talking about the...
The label itself.
The serving size. We're talking about the factors of fat, sodium, protein, cholesterol, etc., in a serving size.
Well,
totally
and I
useless.
Think even allowing for that, for example, I've bought a bag of chips. Yes, this happens, Paul. I do buy a bag of chips on occasion, and it will say on the label.
No judgment here.
And I know calories are a whole other issue too, but it will say, let's say, 250 calories per serving. on this product. So you buy that product, and they don't tell you that each bag of that particular product has 10 servings in it. So if you eat that whole bag, you're actually eating 10 times what the calorie amount is on the label.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's my point. That's another misleading label, in my opinion.
I see.
There you go.
Okay.
That's what I was getting to.
I see.
So that relates entirely.
Then the word natural. When you see the word natural in a product.
What does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything.
So as they define their own terms for serving, do they have their own definition of natural?
I mean, if you look at this product here, I'm looking at a granola product. It says 100% natural on it.
So that means what?
Oats, honey, and raisins, it says.
Okay, those are all good things.
So you would expect to buy that package, it'd be 100% natural. When you hear the word natural, what do you think?
I think it's probably healthy for you.
Right. But, right, the raisins indicates that the product, did you know that it contains some dairy product?
No.
Right. And did you know that there's the use of partially hydrogenated cottonseed oil?
Well, that could only make it more delicious, right?
And we already know that the FDA finally, after decades, outlaw the use of trans fats in food because they actually cause heart disease.
Wow. Well, that's pretty awful. So the point is, natural is whatever that advertiser says it is, right?
Yeah. There was this one incident, it's very interesting, an article, I'm trying to find it really quick, an article that was in, came from England, and it was talking about just like the aha moment of a strawberry milkshake. Now, strawberry milkshake, basically, if you make it yourself, right, with fresh strawberries, fresh cream, you know, fresh milk, and some sweetener.
Sounds great. Right?
Four ingredients.
Okay.
The strawberry milkshake that you can buy over the counter has got 59 ingredients in it.
Wow. So are those 59 ingredients, well, do they include preservatives and things like that?
So the corporations know that kids like candy. They like sweet. And they literally skew these products to contain more sweetness.
The candies.
Huh?
The candy you're referring
to. The anything. Anything they're selling directly to children.
Has sugar in it.
Has extreme amounts of sugar in it.
Well, and that makes sense. Who doesn't like sugar, especially when you're a kid?
Anyway, the point is the children's expectation of a strawberry is not a strawberry. They don't even know what a strawberry actually tastes like.
They've been conditioned more or less to like a synthetic strawberry flavor, right?
Exactly. And so the interesting part is just a few of the yummy chemicals in the strawberry milkshake, which is promoted: amyl butyrate, amyl acetate, amyl valerate, anethol, anisulformate, benzyl acetate. Anyway, you get my point. I mean, the thing is, the list goes on. There's like about 35 or 40 of them.
There's a lot of stuff in there.
There's a lot of stuff in there. Yeah.
Okay, so the point is, in relation to food labels, what?
That all that stuff, you know, that the food companies are actually skewing the tastes and the appetites of younger people.
Well, sure, if you grow
totally
up
guiding them again into eating non-food.
And I think condition is the right word. If you're conditioned throughout the course of your young life to like a certain flavor, that's the one you're going to be attracted to, even if it's not the original flavor, again, strawberries being an example.
Yeah. I mean, we could go on I could do a food label show probably for 3 straight weeks. But my point is, then, completely ignore the nutritional facts part of the label. They're not helpful in any way when deciding whether or not this particular food is useful. Second, the ingredients. Understand that there are ingredients in food that that are not on the label.
For example?
They're not on the label.
Okay.
They don't have to
be. What would those include? Well, honestly, Rod,
there are too many to list.
Okay, but let's go back to your example with the strawberry milkshake. All those chemicals you mentioned might be in there, and they may not be on the label. Let's say you have a strawberry milkshake mix that you can buy in a package. It may contain all those ingredients but they may not necessarily be on the label.
Here's another one. Yogurt.
Uh-huh.
Right? On a Danone Activia yogurt, there is a label that says Bifidus Regularis.
What the heck is that?
It's nothing. It's a play on the, a useful bacteria, Bifidobacterium animalis, right? But they trademarked that phrase and then prominently put it on the, on the carton.
I just don't know what that means. Bifidus regularis sounds like a emperor of the Roman Republic.
It's referring to keeping yourself regular.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's very important. From what I understand, though.
So my point is, then there's these word games, right? You look on the label and you go, oh, hey, I know there's bifida something or other. Good bacteria, that's good for the body. Yogurt. I've read something about that, fermented, blah, 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 right? And then there's Bifidus regularis.
There's that. Most commercial yogurts I see out there, and I won't call out any brand names, we all know what they are, they're just pretty much sugar with some fruit flavor. If you buy a strawberry yogurt, for example, you're getting that synthetic strawberry flavor and a bunch of sugar all whipped up to look like yogurt, but you're essentially eating a dessert, and it's not healthy. I think we've also been conditioned to believe that yogurt is going to be healthy
for
us.
So here's another example of all natural. So this one comes from a carton of Danone yogurt. It's got pictures of strawberries. It's all natural, no artificial
ingredients.
Anything. No artificial anything.
But that can't be true.
What's it sweetened with?
Sugar.
High fructose corn syrup.
Which is an artificial ingredient.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Correct.
All right.
It's man-made. From a natural source, but it's man-made, right? But what does the label say? All natural. So anyway, again, it's just another example of you have to look. So what's the use of labels? I mean, why even bother? Okay, that's a good question. The answer to that question is at least you can look at the ingredients, right? And there are some chemicals and artificial factors that have to be identified. Look there and see if there's any concentrated sweetener of any kind, whether it's artificial, natural, whatever, right? Because the effect of those concentrated sweeteners will be the same fundamentally. Not good for you. Use the ingredients. And it's funny that the ingredients actually occupy almost the smallest space on the label in the smallest typeface.
Is that the most essential information then? Or does it really matter for all the reasons you said?
Well, for me, yes, you want to look and see. I mean, for example, not every food product or pre-prepared product is a bad product. Take a salsa or a tomato sauce, right? Very, very difficult. To do as much damage, with respect to the ingredients. So you want to look at the ingredients and you want to see, oh, this says 100% organic tomatoes, salt, pepper, water. No problem. You got it.
That sounds good.
You got it.
So while labels can be misleading, they're not necessarily useless. I mean, you
Correct.
Look for stuff like that.
Correct.
I know one of your rules also is if you look at a package and look at the labeling and see something you don't recognize, you ran off a whole list of chemicals a little while ago as an example.
That's exactly right. If you don't understand a word, it's probably not good for you. Amyl butyrate. If you don't know what that is, you should set that product right back down.
I sure don't know what that is, so I wouldn't be in a hurry to buy that.
And others. There are many, many, many other chemical terms and phrases and words, you know, that are used for preservatives and colorings and additives and, you know, all kinds of stuff.
So usually, Paul, when we're done with the show here, I'll go to a nearby grocery store, and I always buy the Sunday New York Times. That's something I do. And I may pick up a food item or two. When I'm doing that, am I necessarily going to buy something that's processed as a matter of course? In other words, do I have to go to the organic section to make sure that I'm not getting processed food?
There, you know, the sad news is that even in the organic section, you'll find a lot of crap.
Okay, and that includes packaged foods, so I should be watching the labels on those also is the
look
point
at the
I'm getting
labels,
to.
Look at the labels. If you don't understand a word, forget it. If you see concentrated sweeteners, forget it.
Then what's the alternative? Let's say I want to buy, you know, just something, even a loaf of bread, and I see labels on there that have ingredients I don't recognize. What should I do at that point? What alternative should I seek?
You put that bread back down and move on.
Move on?
Find yourself something that doesn't have those ingredients.
Okay, I mean, maybe go to a different grocery store. Should I go to one of the places that advertises itself as being healthier, more natural?
Well, the reason to stick to organic food, other than the fact that glyphosate has been proven to be cancerous causing.
What is glyphosate?
Roundup.
Okay. Well, stuff. I'm not getting Roundup in my loaf of bread, am I?
You are if you're using commercial ingredients, potentially.
Okay, because it's been grown in conditions where Roundup is used, right?
And, the ingredients and in the harvest, when we talked about that last week, they desiccate the grain before it's harvested, spraying it with herbicide.
So those ingredients, the grain, for example, are getting into the bread.
Correct.
So the Roundup is in there.
Correct. So stick with organic.
The label won't say that.
Stick with organic. And
contains
again,
Roundup.
Look at the ingredient labels and be sure that you understand every single term there. Don't be swayed by the label on the food itself.
And I guess the point I'm getting at, Paul, on a practical day-to-day basis, if you're trying to be conscientious about the things you buy, you have to know what else to buy if something that you like to normally consume turns out to be unhealthy, right? You have to know what those alternatives are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's
so
a little...
for example, sugar-free. A product can put that on the label in a prominent place, right? But it's really not sugar-free. Because sugar is defined as sucrose, which is a white crystalline sweet carbohydrate, right? Normally made from sugar cane or sugar beet, right? But utilize alcohol sugars made from alcohol. But because it's not sucrose, you can say the product is sugar-free.
But in effect...
Play with words.
It's just a different kind of sugar.
But it's not sweetener-free. And that's what you want to look for. Sweetener-free.
Are there labels that say sweetener-free?
No.
Okay. Because there's almost nothing that's sweetener-free, I would think.
Well, I mean, anyway...
No, I understand what you're saying. Yeah. Sugar-free is a very misleading thing to put on their product.
Bottom line is, it's everywhere. So that's why you stick with fresh foods, fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, fresh foods, and look very closely, even in the organic section, or foods that claim that they're organic, right? And there should be a label on them. It's a green label. You've seen it before. Right. So we got to be savvy. It's really, really hard, but we got to be savvy. And Nate learned just how much he was fooled and how savvy he had to be.
Nate's a patient of yours.
He was experiencing fatigue and insomnia, hungry all the time, chronic pain, headaches, sinus infections. The list goes on. Right? And he tried a number of things and failed. And when he was willing to make the changes that were necessary, recognizing that he was a unique human being that is required a personalized nutritional approach, the power of nutrition, went to work for them. It can go to work for you, but you got to be willing to make the changes.
And that starts
that are necessary.
With
starts with the elimination of sugar.
And watch your food labels to make sure that you're getting the proper foods. And you don't want to necessarily...
Nate, part one.
Okay. Here we go. Nate's story.
So how did you come to know about me and the nutrition response testing technology? How did that come about?
Well, a friend of mine at work and I, we talk health, nutrition, exercise a lot. And I'd had an enlarged thyroid diagnosed. And I was just kind of like, well, I didn't want to go the traditional route because I just haven't heard a lot of success there. And he was saying, well, he listens to Health Matters and had listened to your program. So I went on the web and went to your page. And sure enough, I'm looking and there's this guy that has chronic fatigue, insomnia, shoulder, neck pains, a lot of the things I'd been experiencing. And it just dovetailed with what I was going through. So I decided at that point I was going to take a shot and call you and come see you.
Take a shot. I love it. Step out. Now, had you tried to handle these things in some other way?
Yes, I have. Over the past, I've gone to different naturopaths and have had success. I've used acupuncture, had some good success there. What led me to this point was a couple years ago, I had to have surgery on my neck to clear out some calcium because I had a pinched nerve. And just had struggled since then. Sleeping got worse and worse. I'd be up every hour and nothing seemed to work for that. And so then I see the dental hygienist and she said, "Oh, your thyroid's enlarged. You ought to have that checked." And I did not know there was a connection with that and my neck, but I've done various ways of treating things, and so I was open to it. And like I said, what I saw on your website was, oh, sounds like maybe you could help, and that's what led me to come see you.
So you basically had worked with some other practitioners, and they in various areas, and they had helped you with one symptom or another.
Yeah.
But not the whole package.
No, I mean I would get relief for certain symptoms, and but these were kind of new, although some of them were chronic, and I struggled with the nutrition because things that I would think would be healthy, fresh fruit and whole grain breads and all those things bothered my system. I just could not eat them well, and so I would try and eat healthy, and that wasn't working. And so I was looking for something that would be probably more holistic that addressed a lot of the issues and things I was experiencing.
So there's that confusion thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're eating, you're reading things, you're talking to your friends and colleagues, and you're working with practitioners and you're getting various points of view, and certain things are working and certain things are not working, and then you're doing things that you think are going to be useful and yet they're not.
Yeah.
And that's confusing.
Right. I'd exercise a lot and was eating what I considered very healthy, had given up sugar, had given up bread.
Wow.
And all those things, and yet I wasn't feeling better, and I could not get through that barrier of, well, what else do I need to do besides what I'm doing?
Exactly. Sort of really where I found myself, as you read my story, what that was all about. And many people out in the community have heard my story. And I had done so many things myself. I mean, I had seen naturopaths and acupuncturists and medical doctors and chiropractors and herbologists and what nobody could figure out, what I really needed was that missing piece.
Right.
Or missing pieces, a strategy that could actually address the underlying root cause so that I would, start making some significant progress. And you already said what you were suffering from, but say it again for folks, maybe if they just tuned in. What you talked about an enlarged thyroid, and then what else?
That was kind of the key, and I'd couldn't sleep more than an hour at a time at night. I'd constantly waking up. I'd had neck, shoulder, and back pain. I'd had, you know, I had headaches every day. I was living on Advil and Tylenol.
Oh, my gosh.
And that way, those were kind of the main things that I was going through.
And you had sinus issues?
Right. I had sinus issues. I had chronic bronchitis from childhood. And that was where I, seeing other practitioners, I'd gotten some relief from that. I was like, well, you know, my bronchitis was a lot better. But the sinus things, you know, I was just real susceptible to sinus infections and colds and those kinds of things.
And, of course, the interesting thing about it is, you know, pretty much every symptom or indication that you're talking about has some relationship to the thyroid.
Yeah.
That's Paul Rosen talking to his patient, Nate, who had a whole bunch of problems. Gave up sugar, gave up bread. That wasn't enough. Part two of Nate's story in a second here. 503-222-9700, meanwhile, is the number to call to speak to Paul directly here on the air on Health Matters. 503-222-9700. Here's Nate, part two.
And I'd been told I'd been in an auto accident, rear-ended 20 years ago, and they said, oh, that's probably what it was, you know, and as you and I talked, it's like, well, no, probably damaged my thyroid at that point.
Exactly.
My body was trying to respond and fix it until it couldn't.
That's exactly what happens so many times. And there's no way to pick that up on an X-ray, an MRI. There's no way to pick that up, you know, unless you're actually looking at the symptoms and indications. You know, you're looking for the physiological function.
Right.
But my experience with seeing so many people, and as you know, I do see a lot of people,
yes.
this is missed, and it's a huge miss. And it's really because you don't think about it. But when I told you that, when I said, you know, it's highly likely that you injured the thyroid during that accident, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Everything kind of fell into place, and it's like, well, that would, you know, that really... It all was very, you know, it just felt right.
Yeah, it just kind of clicked.
Right, yeah, the light bulb came on. It's like, you know, that would explain a lot.
So you came in and you know, you made the decision. You were ready, you were willing, you were able. You made the decision, you came in, you got the evaluation. Was it painful?
Absolutely not.
what was it unusual?
Well, you'd have to define unusual. If you're used to typically going in to see a doctor and they prod you and poke you and, you know, take your blood and, you know, do all that and not really offer you a whole lot of help, then I would say this is probably unusual. But it you don't have to stand on one leg or do anything crazy to see any results.
To do the muscle testing, the nutrition response testing. Yeah. It's just that many people are not familiar with muscle testing. And,
right.
And for those of you, it's very difficult to explain it, you know, on the air, but I would encourage you, would you encourage people to come to a talk?
Absolutely.
Why?
Yeah. You know, I had done NEET, which is something similar. So I was not totally in left field for me. I still can't say, you know, we've talked about this, I still can't say I totally understand it, although I get it more and more, but I do know it works because I've had success with similar things, but not to the extent that we're talking about now, which is, you know, trying to heal and get the nutrition, everything in sync.
And so coming to a talk would be a good idea.
Yeah.
Because that way you could actually see a demonstration of what it is that I do.
Right.
And it would make a lot more, at least it would make a lot more sense than, you know, for folks. Wouldn't you think?
Right. And when you see it, it's not, there's nothing frightening about it. There's nothing that would make you nervous.
Yeah. It's a little bit strange for folks. But then again, as
an easy chain with somebody else, and they're the surrogate.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is the, you know, what I often say is, that, and you know, most people come to see me just, you know, in the state like you were, which was, you know, trying to do a number of things. You were treated by and diagnosed by other practitioners. You self-diagnosed and self-treated, and you still weren't, you know, getting the results you were looking for, I always say sometimes you have to get unusual results, you have to use unusual methods.
Right.
And that would make sense here, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So you've been working with me. I'll get right out to it. You've been working with me for about 8 weeks now.
Okay.
So what results so far?
You know, within the first week of taking supplements, and you know, you started me on some supplements, and we kind of figured out some baseline things to get regulated. Immediately, I could eat things and not feel an upset stomach. I wasn't hungry all the time. You know, I didn't feel like my stomach was always, you know, my system was always saying, "I need food. I need." You know, I think I was missing the mark and what my body wanted.
Exactly.
And my sleeping has improved. It's not 100% there, but I'm getting a decent night's sleep now. I mentioned Tylenol and Advil. I hardly take it anymore. I mean, we would joke about it at work because we were all just, you know, eating these things and just trying to self-medicate or whatever.
Right.
And hardly have to use it anymore at all. I didn't expect my neck and back pain to go away, but it has gone down significantly.
Again, that's Paul's patient. That
was
getting better.
That was after a week.
Yeah, he's getting better very quickly. That's the good thing. Okay, we are at this point on Health Matters where we're going to take a call. So let's go to Jeff on the phone. Jeff, thanks for calling in this morning. You're on the air with Paul Rosen.
Jeff, how can I help?
Yes, Dr. Rosen. I've just been diagnosed with severe osteoarthritis. What should I do now?
Oh, my gosh. Well, the first thing I would do is stop eating sugar. I'm sure you saw that coming.
I did. That's all I saw coming.
Yeah. Well, and then the other thing is, that's a condition that's taken a long time to develop. So turning back the clock on that is like turning a battleship. But even a battleship can turn at some point. What we have to do is we've got to find out what other issues are affecting your bones. It's not just a matter of supplementing this or supplementing that, or eating this or eating that.
Okay.
We've got to find out what environmental impingements or obstructions are preventing your body from doing what it was born to do, and that is build proper bone and build proper joints and keep the muscle structure intact, and your body hasn't been able to do it for a long time.
That's correct.
So yes, there are some supplements, things like calcifood. This is a standard process supplement that you can get via a professional. But the supplements alone aren't the issue. Well, like I say, we've got to find out what if any ongoing autoimmune challenges are going on in your body. They're findable. We've got to find out if there's any heavy metal influence, aluminum, mercury. These are the two most common. And we've got to find out whether, you know, what food sensitivities you may have developed over your lifetime. That's where the evaluation comes in. And then, you know, being the fact that you've got severe, you've got no time to lose. None. And I wouldn't guarantee that we could turn the whole thing around based on that. You know, for some reason, and if you know, you can go to my website and read my own story. I don't know why we have to get so seriously compromised before we're actually willing to step outside of our comfort zone. But for some reason, most of us do. I being one of those. And find out what those are and get to going, because the Western medical approach will compromise your bone structure for the rest of your life.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. I mean, if you use one of their you know, quote unquote bone brittleizing drugs, right, you'll literally affect more than just your bones, if you Are you already on one, or is this just a recent diagnosis? Or
Yes, this is a recent diagnosis. Yes.
So they haven't offered you any bone brittleizing drug yet?
No, not for the osteoarthritis. No.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm taking a ton of drugs, but I haven't been recently prescribed anything different.
Yeah, you definitely have ongoing immune challenges in your body affecting your joints. There's just no doubt about it. Osteoarthritis is simply that, as well as, of course, the foods you're eating. And you really do have to stop eating concentrated sweeteners. Not only is it an inflammatory activity, but it just feeds the bugs. It just feeds the bugs.
Okay. Well, I don't want to keep feeding the bugs.
Well, I wouldn't think so.
Okay.
I mean, as long as you're able to breathe and you got some vitality, your body will do the right thing. But the medications, you already know about the meds then, right? You already know about the side effects of the meds that are used for that condition there. It's just devastating.
I see.
Aren't you aware of the side effects?
No. I wasn't aware that the side effects caused osteoarthritis. No.
The side effects of the
here's what
I would do. The first thing that I would do is look up the side effects, the potential side effects, both mild to severe, on every single medication you're taking.
Okay.
That's the first thing you want to do. And if that doesn't freak you out, then you're not ready.
Oh, yes. Well, I've always enjoyed being freaked out.
You have?
Just kidding. Just kidding.
Oh, okay.
There.
All right. All right. Good. Good. You got a sense of humor. I love it.
Yeah, I'm not dead yet.
Thank you.
Okay, well, I'll come in and see you then.
I mean,
no sugar for me, huh?
Yeah, and when you come, be prepared. There are lifestyle changes, eating changes, etc., that have to be made. Some of which only in the short term, and some in the long term. You will take supplements of some sort. We've got to handle those ongoing immune challenges. So my people will, you ask them any question about it. There's no hidden anything. It costs money. Insurance doesn't cover it. So be prepared.
I'll be prepared.
All right. And can you get to a website? Do you have a computer?
Yes.
So AccuNatural, acunatural.com, acunatural.com. That will give you some good background information on what it is we're doing.
Okay.
And I got a free book for you at
the
office. I got a free book for you at the office when you come.
Free book at the office. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. Hey,
and
that
by
was
the
a good
way,
call.
He called me doctor. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not a doctor. I'm an acupuncturist and nutritionist.
So Jeff sounded to me, Paul, like he could make the changes he needed to make.
Well, it sounds like he might be ready, which is really good for him.
Well, what I was hearing from that call was that he was fully aware that the medications were no good for him. He knew he needed to cut out the sugar. He almost sounded like he was just looking for your reassurance.
Well, then I hope he feels reassured.
Well, I hope he comes see you, too, because there's a lot more to know. We do have time for your call, 503-222-9700, 503-222-9700, here on Health Matters.
So to wrap up in summary, on food labels, number one, the nutritional facts are totally useless. There's not any information there that you can make a decision as to whether or not that food is good for you or bad for you or whatever. Totally useless. Forget about it. Number two, look at the ingredients. Make sure, number one, there are no concentrated sweeteners of any kind, no matter what they are in that product. And part B of the ingredients is if there's anything in there, any word, any phrase you don't understand, put that product right back on the shelf. I recommend organic. If anybody tells you that organic products are no different than commercial, I want to be somewhat kind, but they don't know what the HE double hockey stick they're talking about.
You sound like my fourth grade teacher with that one.
I want it to be a family show.
Okay, well, let's keep it that way. Yeah. Also, be wary of made-up phrases like sugar-free, fat-free, and serving size.
Don't believe it.
Because those are all definitions created by those manufacturers.
They don't mean a thing.
They can mean whatever they say they mean.
Exactly
right. Is that right?
Exactly so right. All natural is not all natural. There's no definition for it, even though many people, many organizations have tried to get the FDA to do it. They haven't up to this point.
You see this label?
As far as I know.
This label I'm attaching to my chest right now.
Yeah, the one that says all natural?
No, there's that. Also, if you read below that, it says young, handsome, ready for the NFL. I wouldn't necessarily believe any of that, but that's the label I'm going to wear from now on.
Right. And sugar-free. The other one is sugar-free.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I better add that, too. The coaches might want to be aware of that. Well, that's the program for this week, Paul. I hope we clued everybody in on what to look for and what to ignore in food labels.
An hour doesn't get as much time, but we do the best we can. Irritability, anxiety, and blue moods all have one thing in common. Learn the way back to emotional balance and a path to eliminate prescription medications. And what happens when your endocrine system, what is that, is disrupted? For example, your thyroid. Ah, now you got it. In the meantime, you ate your way to your illness, and you can eat your way out. It's the food, folks. Remember to keep yours fresh.